Very sorry to have to do this. It's a bit uncomfortable for all of us, let's be honest. If you've got teenage kids, it's time that we had a chat about their sex lives. And the reason we have to do that is because we're going to have to get comfortable discussing this. It seems that there is something of a generational shift going on. There's an editorial that's been published in the Medical Journal of Australia today, and it says that a growing body of evidence is showing a link between online pornography and earlier and more varied sexual experiences and risky sexual behaviour. The researchers stress this is not straightforward enough to say that internet porn is the cause of everything, but there does somehow seem to be a link. So to discuss what we do from here and what all this means, I'm joined by one of the authors of the article, Professor John Kaldor from the Kirby Institute for Infection and Immunity in Society, which is based at the University of New South Wales. Professor John Kaldor, thanks very much for your time. Tell us what your findings mean. What do you mean when you say that you found an increasing link between internet pornography and risky sexual behaviour in young teens, but there's no cause that can be demonstrated?
Yeah, so the situation is certainly a complex one. The report that you referred to was a review of published literature. It wasn't new research that we'd done. It was looking at studies that had talked to young people, young adolescents, about their experience with exposure to sexually explicit material through the internet or through other sources, and then also asked them questions about their sexual attitudes and sexual behaviours. And perhaps unsurprisingly, it turned out that the ones who had more exposures to sexually explicit content through the internet were also the ones who were more likely to be engaging in sexual activity and more varied sexual activity at a younger age.
So what makes you tentative in drawing a causal connection?
Well, adolescent development is complex, and it's probably particularly complex in the area of the development of sexual identity and sexual attitudes and practices. It's influenced by many things, and we understand some of those things, and we don't understand them all by any means. So it's quite plausible to consider that the very young people who are interested in accessing sexually explicit material on the internet at an earlier age, they may be the same people who have already decided that they want to embark on sexual activity earlier. And the driving factors could be something that was occurring in their lives beforehand that is leading to both sets of activity, not one causing the other, but them both arising from the same causal pathway.
We're in a new age, clearly, where information and entertainment, I guess, if that's the category you want to use to describe online pornography, is available at a much earlier age in ways that were simply not true of teenagers' parents. So what sort of adjustments do you think parents need to be making, and do you think that they're up to it?
The first point to make is that information is of a highly varied nature is now very widely available. And the second thing to consider is that there are maybe some real positives to exposure to material through the internet. You could make the case that a young person who sees things or is exposed to scenarios on the internet in the safety of the internet may be able to think those things through and talk them through with peers and with parents or others, and see online discussion of those activities and form views of things they want to do and not do, and actually have a much more open and if you want to use the term healthier attitude to matters of sexuality than they would have otherwise have had. And further to that, I think it's been proven now conclusively that sex education and open discussion of sexual matters at a younger age is very effective in increasing or reducing the sexual health risk to the young people, and certainly doesn't increase the chance that they'll engage in sex earlier. So there are a number of positives to consider here. The evidence that the internet and exposure through the internet is increasing is incontrovertible. So we know there is a very substantial body of of increasing amount of exposure taking place. We also know that younger people are having sex at a younger age, and they're adopting a broader sexual repertoire at a younger age. And the third thing we know is that people who have sex at a younger age generally have a higher risk of the what might be considered to be the adverse health outcomes of sex. For example, a higher risk of getting sexually transmitted infections and a higher risk of unwanted pregnancy the earlier you are when you start having sex. Now, again, those causal links are not rock solid, but they are strong correlations. So the answer to your question as to what people, what parents should be thinking and doing, well, I think we don't need to go that far beyond what has been encouraged for the last couple of decades, which is an open discussion of sexual matters and in ways that are appropriate to the age of the child. Now, this obviously has to be staged in and is staged in both educational curricula and parents have to make their own judgments about when and what. But it does point towards the importance of openness, and I think that in many ways that can be seen as a benefit of this increasing availability of exposure to sexual material.
So when you talk about a broader sexual repertoire, let's be clear here. Are we talking about things that are risky, or are we just talking about some things that are a bit more adventurous?
The studies point to both, and there's certainly studies showing relationships, and again, these are not necessarily causal relationships, but that the young adolescents who have exposure to sexually explicit material are more likely to have unprotected sex without condoms, but also more likely to adopt a wider range of sexual practices.
Are any of the practices that you're observing violent? Because I know that there has been some commentary and some concern about exposure to pornography leading to those sorts of practices.
Yeah, look, the question of violence, there's been relatively few studies of that in adolescents. In adults, there have been studies that people who choose to access violent forms of pornography are more likely to engage in more aggressive sexual behaviours. But there's been very few studies in adolescents, but there was one study in the US that did suggest a link between so the younger people who'd sought out pornography that involved violence were more likely to engage in sexually aggressive behaviours that were either online, so in other words, trying to provoke discussions of a sexual nature online, or more likely to be sexually aggressive in person, in the sense that they asked them questions as, have you ever done something to another person sexually that they didn't want, and they're more likely to answer the question yes if they had exposure to this kind of material. Mm. So there is limited evidence, but some evidence in that direction. It's clear this is a very difficult area to research, and researchers are often accused of equivocating and hedging their bets. This is an area where it is very tempting to do so. But I think it's also important to not jump to a conclusion that just because there is an increased availability of such material out there, and just because we do see a reduction in age of sexual activity and expansion of sexual repertoire, that one thing causes the other. This is not going to go away. I mean, this phenomenon of increased access to sexually explicit material, I think, is only going to expand with the current technological changes. And so, as you said at the outset, I think parents and educators are going to have to increasingly think through and deal with the broader awareness of young people about sexual matters and the broader experience of young people about sexual matters. And researchers such as ourselves are going to have to get cleverer in designing studies that can really answer the questions about harm and also answer the questions about if there is harm, what do we need to do to prevent that harm?
John Caldor, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Professor John Caldor from the Kirby Institute for Infection and Immunity in Society, based at the University of New South Wales. This seems is not a fad. It's something that's here to stay.